Well, let us pray. Our Father, the heavens declare your glory. And we confess that you are worthy of all things that we can imagine. Not only we worship you together, all the nature, all the animals and reptiles and the trees and flowers, worship together with us, Father, this morning, and even with angelic host in your realm, spiritual realm. We may not see them, but we know that your angels sing together to your glory. Father, let this Sunday be a time that we truly embrace the goodness of God, who is worthy of all, forever worthy. Father, thank you for a blessing that you have given us. Everything that we have, everything that we see, and even our own soul, your blessing. We are so grateful for who you are and what you have done through your Son, Jesus Christ. If nothing else, Father, we have Jesus in our heart, who will be with us forever, even to the end of the age. We have confidence in Jesus and faith in Jesus, and we commit our heart to your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, whenever we think about worship, worship wasn't the same from generation to generation. We have to recognize different styles of worship, which I believe is stemmed from the diversity of the Holy Spirit's gift. Moses' worship was different from David's worship, for instance. There are about 500 years of gap between the generation of Moses and that of David. Mosaic worship consists primarily of animal sacrifices, prayers, intercessions, and the high priest alone approached the ark. But on the other hand, David's worship was extended on top of Mosaic worship to include several new features. In a sense, today's contemporary worship style many churches have adopted has similarities with David's worship. So what are the key characteristics of David's worship? With that in mind, would you please turn with me to 1 Chronicles 16, verses 1 through 4. 1 Chronicles 16, 1 through 4. And they brought in the ark of God and placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it. They offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. He distributed to everyone of Israel, both men and women, to everyone a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a raisin cake. He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. This is the episode where the ark of the Lord, which was stolen, which now are bringing back to the city of David after staying for a while at, you know, at Abed-Odom's place. And if you pay attention to verse 4, praise, the word praise is halal in Hebrew, and this is the first appearance of the word halal in the Old Testament. And it describes the act of praising God through prayers, instruments, singing, both corporately and individually. And the scripture attests to singers praising God halal, and musicians offering praise God, again halal, with lyres and harps and with the trumpet, lute and tambourine, dance, strings, pipe and cymbals. If you read Psalm 150, this word halal was used also in that context. And all these aspects of these new features introduced by David began with this word halal, halal. And you may have heard of hallelujah many times, and actually hallelujah is a compound word between halal and Yahweh. And instead of calling hallelujah Yahweh, they cut it short, hallelujah, this first syllable of Yahweh, that is actually only appearing in the Psalms. It doesn't appear outside of the Psalms. And in a sense, we owe David the term halal and hallelujah, which has impacted the last 3,000 years over hundreds of generations in the Christianity. You may have heard a similar term, alleluia, which is actually a Greek rendering of Hebrew word hallelujah. When they translate hallelujah in Greek in the New Testament, it is alleluia. So that's why they don't have H sound there. And Handel composed the famous song Messiah and employed this verb, halal and hallelujah. So from this passage, 1 Chronicles 16:1-4, we see the first characteristics of David's worship, which is a corporate worship. And this scene here is the worship of the Lord is not just that of David all by himself, but people were invited to participate in the sharing of the offerings. You know, while Moses focused on his own individual worship in Mount Sinai, in Tabernacle, David opened the worship to the people so that people would be able to participate with joyful heart. And they were even given food before the ark and celebrating the presence of God. And actually, when he do worship in this sanctuary, we have food there. You pick up sometimes food. And actually, come to think of it, that kind of, you know, it's a spirit of what we see in 1 Chronicles 16:1-4. Food actually brings a lot of joy. And I think if you take food in the right spirit, I think it can be glory to God. some people say, oh, contemporary worship is not like, you know, solemn, and you know, we don't really give honor to the Lord. But nonetheless, we have some evidence in 1 Chronicles 16 that worship has to be joyful and together with people and participate with each other to give God the honor and the glory. And second, the passage is from the subsequent verses, 1 Chronicles 16, 4-9. And he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel, Asaph, the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, then Zahiel, and Shemaramoth, Jahiel, Mattithiah, Eliab, Benaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jael, with musical instruments, harps, lyres. Also Asaph played loud-sounding cymbals. And Benaniah and Jahaziel, the priest, blew trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then, on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relative to give thanks to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, and sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. And the atmosphere is quite amazing. It's not just a solemn worship by one priest, but David hired so many Levites to lead the worship with songs and instruments. And this is quite celebrative atmosphere. So I think second feature of David's worship is creative worship with music and songs. Celebrative worship with music and songs. And this is similar to actually what we see in the 21st century contemporary music. We are familiar with, I think, our worship is also contemporary. Celebration is the focus in this worship. And celebration was focused on the Lord himself. And people were assigned to play instruments with harps and lyres and even loud-sounding cymbals. I think today's musical instrument may be inspired by this. And you know, some old generation people say, oh, contemporary worship is too loud. I cannot take it. But by the way, I think music's supposed to be loud. I mean, worship's supposed to be loud. That's more normative than not. And even the drums, people say they're satanic employment. Some are smeared into church, but cymbals, loud-sounding cymbals, I think, is kind of evolved to today's loud elements of today's modern worship. And priests continued to blow trumpets before the ark. You know, trumpet is so loud, right? They continued to blow while they were worshiping. So this was far from solemn and quiet worship at all. There are times that worship is supposed to be quiet and solemn, but David introduced different paradigm. And on top of that, David assigned Asaph and his relative to sing praise songs to the Lord. It means there was a worship team who were leading the worship before the people with instruments and songs. And let's look at next portion of 1 Chronicles 25, 1-3. And moreover, David and the commanders of the army set apart for the service some of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who were to prophesy with lyres, harps, and cymbals. And the number of those who performed their services was of the sons of Asaph, Zakur, Joseph, Nathaniah, Ashalelah, and son of Asaph were under the direction of Asaph, who prophesied under the direction of the king, and of Jeduthun, the son of Jeduthun, Gedaliah, Zeri, Jeshiah, Shimel, Hashayaba, and Matithiah, 6, under the direction of their father, Jeduthun, with the harp, who prophesied in giving thanks and praising the Lord. So I think this passage describes another characteristic of David's worship, which is a prophetic worship. You know, prophetic worship sounds like, you know, 21st century invention. But actually, it originates from David's worship, prophetic worship. The word prophesied was used 3 times in this passage. The word prophesy is naba in Hebrew, and Navi is a prophet. And Nava, prophesy, means prophesy on the influence of divine spirit in an ecstatic state with songs and music. So this was a new paradigm of worshiping the Lord, which never had happened before, and then this was kind of died down after. Although there are some time of revival of this worship, and now I think 21st century worship, in some places I have seen prophetic worship. which is not at all, you know, far from normative. But this was, there's some evidence in the Bible that this happened in David's time. And it seems like these prophetic songs were lifted up to the Lord in a spontaneous manner, led by the Holy Spirit. And if you read Psalm 33 and 96 and 149, you see the resemblance with this First Chronicle 25. And let's look at one more passage, First Chronicle 25, same chapter, verses 6 to 7. And all these were under the direction of their father to sing in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres for the service of the house of God. Asaph, Jeduthun, and Haman were under the direction of the king, and their number who were trained to sing, trained in singing to the Lord with their relative who were all skillful, was 288. So I think from this passage and a few more, we can see that this is extravagant worship. You know, extravagant in a negative sense is wasteful. But in a positive sense, David was so rich to God. He did not spare. He was a stingy man. He poured out these resources to the worship of the Lord. Extravagant worship. David hired 288 singers. Can you think about a modern, you know, the worship team with 288? This is it's almost unthinkable. And they were employed in the work day and night. If you read 1 Chronicles 9:33, now these are the singers, heads of the house, father's households of the Levites, who lived in the chambers of the temple free from other service. And they were engaged in their work day and night. Have you been to IHOP? Actually, if you go to IHOP, there's a prayer room. They actually do the praise God 24/7. They have 12 teams divided up, and each team praise God for 2 hours. They are actually interns of their worship school. And I believe Michael Bickle started late 90s, starting 24/7 worship, even to this day, it's more than 20 years now. I don't know how long that will last, but when people heard of that, they said, that's crazy. That's not biblical. But actually, that's quite biblical. You know, biblical doesn't mean we have to do it, because Bible describes what happened. It's not. It may not be prescriptive, but it's not non-biblical, and I think it started from David. 288 singers, they were dedicated to sing to the Lord day in, day out. If you read one more passage here, it's not on the screen, but it's in your Bible sheet. First Chronicles 23, 1-5. And now when David reached old age, he made his son Solomon king over Israel. And he gathered together all the leaders of Israel with the priests and the Levites. And the Levites were numbered from 30 years old and upward. And their number by census of men was 38,000. And of these, 24,000 were to oversee the works of house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges, and 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 were praising the Lord with the instruments which David made for giving praise. So David established at the end of his lifetime 4,000 musicians who were hired to praise the Lord with musical instruments, and 4,000 gatekeepers to protect them. You know, all these are massive in terms of scale. It's very extravagant. David just poured out all his resources, as much as he can, dedicated to the worship of the Lord. So altogether, David employed 8,000 full-time people for worship. This is an incredible scale and amazing dedication to the worship of the Lord. And if we were to calculate the yearly budget to support 8,000 full-time musicians and worship team, it would be $240 million yearly budget. If we count, each person get paid $3,000 per month, which is about right the pay in today's the full-time worker for music. $240 million. We only count 8,000, but there are 38,000 total Levites who are dedicated overall to the service of the sanctuary. But out of that 8,000 people, if you just take only 8,000, it's $240 million per year budget. Incredible. Because he sees the importance of worship. And worship was not just done on, you know, say, Sabbath day, but also in the warfare. Before they go to warfare, they were hired to praise God. Because I think David believed that warfare, physical warfare, is actually, first of all, spiritual warfare. You have to win spiritually before you win the physical warfare. And if you read 2 Samuel 6:14, and David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. And this is another dimension of 1 Chronicles 16, when Ark of the Lord was coming into the city of David. David was dancing with all his might, and his ephod almost got taken off, but he didn't care. And his wife despised him, and then she was, in a sense, cursed by God, not having any children because of that. You know, her attitude toward David. But God received David's dancing with all his might very well. So David was so joyfully celebrating with dancing when the Ark of God was coming. It wasn't just dancing, but dancing with all his might. I don't know what that means. You know, these days maybe K-pop, they dance crazy, right? With all their might, you know. When I saw first time, I said, oh man, what is this? But now at least I can see they are dancing with all his might. Probably they got inspired by David. Incredible. You know, this does not mean we have to dance with all might in our worship, because this is descriptive. Nonetheless, this shows a man whose heart is taken after the Lord. And David broke all the boundaries and traditions just to give the Lord his extravagant worship with all his might and with all his resources. You know, it's hard to define David's worship in one phrase, but we know that his worship moved God's heart, because the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. His worship spoke to God's heart. And he opened with a new paradigm of worship. That is, if we summarize, worship of a man after God's own heart, there are four characteristics. A corporate participatory worship. He invited everyone, every man and woman, to celebrate together. And second is celebrative worship. It's not solemn and quiet and all by yourself type of worship, but very celebrative, and also prophetic worship, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some people are designated to, you know, give new songs in prophetic words in spontaneous manner. And last not the least is extravagant worship. So cooperative, celebrative, and prophetic and extravagant worship. I don't know how to summarize all these important elements in one word, but we know that his worship was a worship of a man after God's own heart. And the word halal, praise, and hallelujah, which stem from halal, is meant to worship God with all these fashions that David shifted the paradigm. And David's worship was not just one generational thing. By the way, David's worship was revived and restored at least 6 times in the Old Testament. I think Hezekiah time, and Josiah, and Zerubbabel, and Ezra, Nehemiah, and Jehoshaphat. They actually bring Levi's worship in this fashion, and 6 times at least in the Old Testament. But more importantly, if you read Amos, which is not there but in your sheet, Amos 9:11, in that day I will raise up the fallen booth or fallen tabernacle of David, and war up its breaches. I will also raise up its ruins and build it as in the days of old. So I believe Amos prophesied in that day. In that day, I believe it's the last day, David's worship will be restored. And I envision that the global mission work will go together with the spirit of David's worship to bring people to Christ in a massive scale. That's actually is taking place. Have you heard of the German evangelist called Bonnke? Never heard of him? Bonnke, B-O-N-N-K-I-E, I believe. And if you haven't seen his evangelism, especially in Africa, I think it's worth to see that. Because now he's retired, but I think he reached out like hundreds of millions people, mainly in Africa, and they came to Christ. Actually, it's a written confession of Jesus out of his crusade. And it is a massive scale with the worship movement and then preaching the gospel, very simple words, that Jesus died for your sin and come to Christ. Many Africans actually came to Christ through his last 30 years of effort. And people will praise hallelujah from all over the world with singing, shouting, calling upon the name of Jesus, their Messiah, and giving their heart to the Lord and his worship. So he is worthy of all, and be part of Amos' prophecy. God is looking for a man and woman after his own heart, like David, even these days. And celebrate the Lord and sing to the Lord with new songs. And rejoice in him and shout to him with joy and delight. And he doesn't mind loud singing, wailing even. I think that's actually, it shouldn't be, abnormal thing, but maybe normative thing, especially in the last days. And give the Lord all you have. Be rich to the Lord. Give him all your mind and all your resources. Just, to praise him. And be glad in his presence and sing hallelujah. Let us pray. Hallelujah, Father. We praise you. We think that it was David who coined the term halal, and the word hallelujah came out of that in Psalms. Father, revive your worshipful spirit amongst us, and not just us, but all the churches around the world, and all the missionaries and all the worship leaders, Father, embrace this Amos vision in Amos 9:11. that there will be large scale, massive scale, global harvest coming in the spirit of David's worship. And Father, just pour out your Holy Spirit as Joel's prophecy so that we can be completely filled with the Holy Spirit to be part of this fulfillment according to Joel and according to Amos. And thank you that our church is blessed with you know, great worship team who week after week lead this worship on behalf of us to your glory, and continue to pour out your Holy Spirit to this body, and just praise in and of itself is things that you find gladness and delight. And even 24/7, Father, give us the heart to be on our knees in our prayer and in our you know, worshiping you, Father God. May you receive all the honor and glory from this body. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I rise up. soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on in the power of your love.
Hold me close.
Father, eternal Father, we thank you that we call Elohim, God Creator, as our Father, because you sent your Son Jesus, and whoever believes in Him has been adopted to the family of God, so that we can call you Abba Father. Father, draw us closer to you. As the history is winding down, Father, as our life has come to an end, with certainty, let each day be a time that we cultivate the presence of you, and when we gather together in our fellowship, Father, we can corporately praise you forever. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever. Amen.